Welcome one, welcome all. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. How are you all doing? Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 77, coming at you right now. Here we are at the Portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. It is also a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, and with me for episode number 77 is...
Jen Bartlett.
And...
I'm Matt Bartlett.
Awesome. Are you guys related?
Nah. Nah. Are we?
No.
Okay.
I believe they're married. That was the rumor that I heard. So, nice.
Only a rumor.
Cool.
Rumors.
So, they're going to join us for this episode, and Jen runs stuff down at the library in Manchester and contacted me a little while ago and was like, hey, I should be on an episode of your podcast. I was like, you should have been on an episode like 2 years ago. So I was glad that you bugged me and said that, because this definitely should have happened a while ago. So this is great to have you guys. What have you been up to? What's been exciting lately?
Well, in terms of games that we've been playing, I appear on Fever Game Friday, also part of the Dice Tower Network. And we, a couple months back, had a grill game segment, and my grill game, perhaps an odd selection, is the Pillars of the Earth, was the Pillars of the Earth.
Nice.
And Cosmos recently reprinted it, so now the trilogy is done. You can play Pillars, World Without End, and Calmifier if you want to. That's getting half and half reviews, all in one shot. The whole thing is done. It nice. Was like a look of glee on my face when I walked in and it was on the counter. I was like,
Ken Follett novels, right? Is that what those are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like epic historical fiction. I would definitely classify that as. Yeah. How about you?
Cool. Not much. Running in circles, it seems like sometimes, just with busyness and chaos and craziness. So, all those things. Why don't you tell us about your library event? Because I know there's one coming up in February.
So February 17th, hopefully you'll be joining us. I think you'll be joining
us. I am
us.
Aiming to join.
Okay.
Yeah, to join you. I just got to double check on schedules and all that. But
yeah. If you got you and Brant won't be, you and Brant.
I'm Brant.
You're Brant. That Brant. If you and Brian won't be at the New York Toy Fair.
Yeah. I'm scheduled to go to the Toy Fair on Monday, so that should free me up for Saturday. But okay. I just got to double check that all works out. And that we don't miss things on Saturday, but Brian's there. So
that's true. So it's Saturday, February 17th, 12 to 4:30 p.m. at the Manchester Public Library, Connecticut. Can I tell you the ridiculous amount of phone calls that we get from 617 area codes? And they're saying, I looked in your catalog online, and you have this book. And I look in ours. And then I look at the phone number that's come through, and I'm
New
like,
Hampshire.
I think you want to call Manchester, New Hampshire. Yeah.
Nice.
How about you, Matt? What have you been playing besides Destiny?
Oh, so much Destiny. So we've been playing, it's not just been me, Dinosaur Island a few times so far, and it is everything that I wanted it to be from basically a Jurassic Park board game.
Yeah,
they can't basically can't say Jurassic Park. Just a great worker placement engine builder, based around a dinosaur theme park, which is good because our track record with Pandasaurus was a little shaky. So I was a little worried going in, but I was pleasantly surprised at how much fun we had with Dinosaur Island.
I saw you had it in your bag tonight, so you've played.
I have. I played 3 or 4 times, I think.
Yeah.
No, it's really good. It's really fun. The only thing that's strange to me, I don't necessarily put it in the negative, is the hooligans are just a strange mechanism of like suddenly random. Like nothing in the game is really super random.
Mm.
The only thing that like makes sense with the hooligans is there's lots of cards and tiles to like negate hooligans. So it's like trying to get you to prevent that randomness from happening.
Yeah.
Use it to the theme, too, of people trying to sneak into your park without paying, and sometimes they are successful.
And I feel like if you, like, I have also seen people just
diving for the objectives, like, at all expense for their park.
Oh,
so
yes.
To complete several. Are you allowed to complete multiple objectives in one round? Or is it only one per round? That was a rule I was wondering if I was getting wrong.
I can't remember. I'll have to take.
Because I had people completing two and three, but getting, like, seven people eaten in their park. But they're like, to hell with the people. I'm going to complete the objectives and get all the points and lose a couple points, you know?
I've heard that's a weird thing. We taught it to friends. It was our first four-player game on
Monday,
and it was a medium-length game. And it happened where Matt,
the whole table actually had one objective at the same time.
At the same time.
And the rulebook does say if everyone has it at the same time, it just all gets put on there.
Yeah, multiple people can do that.
So that one, that's the only one that I have particular clarification on. But
no, I'd have to check on that.
That one, your wonder.
But yeah. Besides that, the game's a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I jumped right to some negatives, but yes.
Oh, no. The pink dinos were a huge draw for me.
Do you have the Kickstarter one with the different ones, or you have the edition?
Just regular retail.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
It's still fine, yeah.
I like the plastic dinos a lot. I think it actually fits the theme and character of the game really well.
That 90s fab.
It's so 90s fab. Yeah. It's just the 90s artwork, and it's neon colors, and and the amber dice, too.
Right.
We love the amber dice.
Yeah, that was a good call.
It was nice because it's a midweight Euro with tons of theme to it. Which is nice, because we're seeing, like, Column of Fire was a fine game, but the theme just kind of fell flat. For Dinosaur Island, you had this nice Euro game where the theme really kind of surged through.
I thought time-wise, too, like, it actually was a game that played to the time on the box.
Mm.
I didn't find it with four people to go super long.
Right. And I do enjoy the fact that you can pick short, medium, and long, instead of just saying, okay, we're going to have this game that lasts 3 hours, because...
Right.
The game says so. Instead, you have options.
Yeah. No, that was definitely good, so.
Have you played the long game yet?
I haven't. I've played, I think, all medium. I had heard that short was too short.
It is too short.
I went medium in all my games, and I've taught it now three... I think I've played it three times, because I don't think I've done solo.
Okay.
It's amazing that I can't remember that.
our Learn to Play, we did the short game when we were learning, and you almost felt like, wait, it's over?
It totally caught me off guard. I was like, but my dinos.
Yeah, it's interesting, because most people, right, it's like not a game where you have to necessarily sell people on playing it. It's like, this is Jurassic Park, the board game.
Yeah.
So then the short game is kind of like, okay, now you learn, and they're like, I want to keep going. You know, it's almost like you want to swap out objectives or something to keep going, so.
I think if you're of a certain age, too, there's such a huge nostalgia for Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Mm.
That it really fits in with that. And if you were a Jurassic Park fan like Matt was as a kid, I mean, it's just... Yeah, I didn't watch it until we were on our honeymoon. Which is, like, the weirdest time to watch Jurassic Park.
Did you go to, like, a tropical island for your honeymoon?
No, we went to Williamsburg, Virginia, and it was a rainy day. There was nothing to do, because you can't go out to the colonial area that's all rained out and all that stuff, but...
Jurassic Park!
Jurassic Park was on, and we watched it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. I feel like we glossed over your Pillars of the Earth, because you had told us about, like, the three games, but you've now played Pillars of the Earth.
So we played it twice. We played it again last night.
Last night.
I did the Jen frowny face at Matt.
Well, we've both won a game each.
Which is a good ratio.
It's just, first off, anything Michael Menzel touches for artwork is gorgeous.
Yeah. Him and Vincent Dutre are among my fans. Ian O'Toole is rising, too.
Yep.
But you say Michael Menzel, and it's like my little antennae go up. Oh, Michael Menzel. And I love, too, how the style and even the symbology across the three games is very similar.
Mm-hmm. And very simple, too. You don't have to keep going back to a rulebook going, what does that mean again? It's fairly straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... So I had a conversation last night with someone on Instagram. So the game's originally from 2006, right?
Right.
So it... At its time, too, it's kind of like... It's a worker placement game, and it's got some bidding mechanic to it, too. It's not a rondel, but...
No, but it's one of those things where it's a worker placement game, yes, but it's expensive if you want to be the first person to put something down.
Right.
Yeah, that's creative.
Yeah.
So, I think to people who've played games that have probably piggybacked off of Pillars maybe seems a little samey.
but it was probably one of the originals of mm-hmm. sorts. I would right. put it down in, like, the El Grande camp, where it's among, like, ones that set such a foundation for others yep. to go forth from
and
it.
Pillars may not be the first worker placement game, but it's the first to say you now have to pay to put that worker down.
Right.
Or pass, let everyone else do what they want to, and then if that space is still open, it can come back to you.
Yeah, really Agricola, Kalis, and yeah. Pillars were kind of original three,
yeah.
you know, there. To me, the one that still is my favorite is Kalis of those three.
Okay.
Agricola, I feel like I want to like it and I want it to be fun, but the last time I played it with Kathy, like, the last two or three rounds were just a bloodbath between us.
Oh, no!
It was just, well, I can't complete these goals, so I'm just going to completely stop you from doing yours. Oh. So then it was like, we both went from a potential of, like, 50 points all the way down to, like, 17 points. And it was a little rough. We were like, that was no fun at the end.
Well, I know it's Brian's... Brian really likes Agricola.
Yeah.
No, we're in the Caverna camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Caverna's more open.
Yeah.
So it gives you more options. But it doesn't really lead you down a path of, like, yeah. this is where you should go, and this is what you should yeah. try with your cards. So the cards definitely help.
My dwarves are just freewheeling out in yeah. the mine, so just, yeah. you know, hanging out.
Yeah.
Petting their sheep. We like Caverna more, is it's not just the farming, it's the caves.
Yeah, as the well. Cave stuff, too.
And so. The battling, right? Yeah. You can go and adventure, yeah. is that what it is?
At two players, though, it's kind of lame.
You don't do too much.
Yeah, we don't players. Do a lot of battling. I don't know if we've ever done much. But, yeah, I think it met all my expectations, right? You have these expectations for a Grail game that it's going to be, oh! And it was, I mean, I think it met them. It didn't exceed them. So, Cosmos did a fine job on components.
Well, I mean, it's just a reprint. Nothing, I don't yeah. think there's anything new to mm-hmm. it. It's just
getting it back out
to the public.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there might have been other small things. Like, I'm always when you're gathering resources, if you're going to the forest and getting wood, why can't you have wood-shaped resources that you collect yeah. instead
of cubes.
The cubes?
Yeah, they didn't update that from what the original edition had, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's fine, though. That's my only gripe. Best part about it, though, is so applicable to Matt. There's a card in the final round.
Final round, you have the...
Organ Builder.
The Organ Builder,
ah.
yeah.
Now, Matt, for a living, is an organist, so... Yeah.
You collect organs?
Yeah.
play.
I harvest them.
He's a church organist. So there's nice. Like this silent agreement between the two of us. I will never take the Organ Builder card.
And I will never purchase the flautist in Rococo.
Ah. Oh, yes. Okay, so that's our agreement.
That's the agreement.
Now, what if you don't play those two games in 1 year, then?
I know, as a
you have to hold over to the next time.
We actually did play Rococo and Pillars in the same week, so yeah. we're even Stevens, yeah.
I almost broke the rule, too, but I didn't.
I know. No, that's okay.
Nice.
So, that's what we've been playing.
Cool. All right, I've been playing Import-Export.
Oh, yes.
So, Import-Export is a game from Dark Flight Games, and it is very much Glory to Rome. So, Glory to Rome is... a lot of people's Grail games, because this game, I don't think it's ever coming back in print.
Isn't this Black Box Edition in particular the people
yeah.
get really...
And so there's all sorts of crazy things with where the publication is and the rights for Glory to Rome, so it's just not coming back. But the main thing that happens in both Glory to Rome and Import-Export is this one player leads an action on their turn, you're the captain... and everybody else can choose to follow. And if they don't follow, they draw cards. And when you draw, you fill your hand back up to 5. So it's pretty exciting, because if you're down to 1 card, you get to draw 4 cards.
Yeah.
And you can actually go above your max hand limit. So the max hand limit is only a suggested hand limit, if you will. Because you can draw to 6, 7, you just draw 1 card at a time beyond that. And so the theme in Import-Export, which makes it a little different here, is you are importing and exporting goods. And so every card is a crazy different good. You've got... illegal goods, luxury goods, agricultural goods, like all these different types of crazy things. And so it's very funny because you're shipping TVs or you're shipping golden toilets or the illegal good of foxes was one of my illegal goods.
That's so random.
The cards are all multi-use. So you can use them to gain extra actions. You can like to upgrade so you have extra actions. You can use them actually for goods to score points at the end of the game. You can use them for special abilities. And what happens is there's a whole bunch of ships out in the open water, and people play action. So there might be imports. So you put up for auction the goods on one ship, and then somebody gets to collect those. and the ship belongs to a player. So if somebody takes all the goods off my ship, I get my ship back. Now I can put a contract on that ship and then load it with goods. And when I load it with all the goods it needs, it goes out. I get points, or which are in credits, and I earn those. And my ship is now there and available for more people to take things from. And it's kind of that back and forth. It's kind of a slow action. Like, it's not fast to get anything done. You have to, you know, get the goods off the ship, get the ship back. Then as an action, put a contract. Then as an action, load it. And you have to have the right card. So it takes a while. So it's kind of figuring out that flow of, like, how do I get all the things to happen that you're trying to make it work. When one player gets to 50 credits, the game is over. And then people can, like, cash various things in. The goods that you've collected are worth points. The crates that you've loaded that haven't shipped out are worth points. Most points win. So
cards?
It's all a card game. Just comes in a box. And then little cubes for your credits. So it was interesting. I remembered that teaching the glory to Rome is a bear. In fact, one of the famous stories of Brant, the teacher, who loves to teach, right? We were at a convention several years ago, and Brian and Kathy and I sat down. We were all there, and we said, let's play Glory to Rome. And somebody came over and was like, oh, Glory to Rome, I can't wait. But we literally had like 35 minutes till our next game session. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't teach you this game. And as they walked away with like tears filling their eyes, I had equal amounts of tears in my eyes because I love teaching people games.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were able to just bang the game out in 30 minutes because we all know it.
Yeah.
But if you have to teach it to people, it is extremely slow to be this card can do this, or you can play two as a wild, and then everybody's going to get a turn to choose. Then everybody's going to take their actions. Oh, you get a bonus action. Now there's an auction. Now this happens. Now you have that ability. What does that ability do again? Let's look it up in the rule book. So that first game, it still wasn't bad. We played with five, and it was probably in the like 75 minutes range.
Okay.
You can imagine who crushed us all. Brian.
Oh, Brian.
he figured out that flow much better than the rest of us. I was very focused on making sure the other players who hadn't played much Glory to Rome knew what was going on. I don't have that comparison yet with one play. It was very good. And Glory to Rome is one of my favorite games of all time.
Okay.
I could see switching back and forth between the two. Kind of a cop-out. I said the same thing for Gaia Project and Terra Mystica. Like, take your pick. I don't care. I'll play either one.
Okay.
I feel that way so far. Glory to Rome definitely has some wild and crazy cards. Like, really overpowered combos. And that's really fun to get those working. And then everybody else's job is to team up to shut yours down. You know, stop you from able to do that. This didn't seem to have that. But I think because we weren't all in the flow of getting things done efficiently, a lot of those actions weren't coming out. So it was like Brian built a whole bunch of them up and had a crazy combo, but it wasn't super overpowered and none of us really shut him down, and then he won. So it was kind of interesting on that front. But it was a neat game. I just have the regular edition, but we also have the, like, Captain's Edition with plastic pieces and, like, 10 expansions in it.
Wow.
So I'm interested to see where that goes and where that could be. But it was really good, and it reminded me how much I love Glory to Rome, which you had played with me a little while ago.
We played when the Dice Tower came up to here, to the portal, and I'm not good with learning stuff really late at night, and I swear we started playing that at like 10:30 at night, and my brain was just, it melted. I remember going, oh no.
Yeah,
Matt's experience was pretty much the same.
Well, I hadn't had anything to eat all day. No, at 10:30 at night, it was like, wait, what's going on? Why do I have to slap a card, shout Glory to Rome?
Yeah.
No penalty besides public humiliation, I guess.
Yeah, there's no import-export in this. You do not yell that. You just import and export goods. So.
Okay.
Same designer?
It is not. Nope.
Okay.
This, they're different. Yeah.
Okay.
So, right. But, I mean, I don't think he in any way, shape, or form would be like, I was not inspired, but like, he totally was inspired by Glory to Rome. It's very similar. It's different enough, and the actions are all different, you know, and the actions on the cards and the goal is different. But most of the things are the same. In fact, the rules where it's different, I'm like, okay, gotta remember this is different, not the same.
Oh, yeah. That
you
can
know,
be tough.
But there weren't enough. You know, they all made sense in terms of that. So cool. That's what we've been playing lately. I think Matt's going to bow out to play some Destiny.
Yeah, I got to go play some Destiny.
We're at the store, and he's excited to do that. So Jen and I are going to stick around. So Matt, we will see you.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, so we're going to discuss this library program that Jen has running at the Manchester Public Library. I'm just going to throw it over to her to tell us all about what's happening, where the beginnings of this came from, connections she's made, what she's learned along the way, all those things. Jen, it's your show.
Oh, the Jen show. I'm fine. That's cool. Can we have unicorns?
Unicorns are great.
So the idea for Silk City Board Game came around 2.5 years ago. And it had been kind of partially inspired by Matt getting to be a demoer for Aries at Gen Con in 2015. He messaged me at work one day and said, "Hey, I'm doing this crazy thing. Do you want to come along?" And I was like, "What crazy thing are we talking about?" And so at Gen Con 2015, we got to demo War of the Ring and Battle of Five Armies, one of our favorite games. And it was a really positive experience. But before then, I was like, how can I combine gaming and libraries? Mm-hmm. And I knew I wanted to do it differently. Not just kind of, here's some games, I'm going to let you poke through them and have at it. That's not really my style and my personality either. I wanted it to be much more structured and have more, this is going to sound terrible, control over it. Mm-hmm. Because I had seen some programs where they had kind of had a game library out and open for participants just kind of fail and not be successful. So I went off to Gen Con with Matt, and my idea that I pitched to my boss was, all right, we're going to do this once a month on a Saturday. It initially started off, the first, you came that first time, yeah. Too. It was 2 hours or 2.5 hours. We're going to demo a couple of games. We're going to have people to teach them. And we'll have a game library available, too.
And snacks.
And snacks. Gamers and their snacks. The snacks, the free snacks, I think are a draw sometimes. I said, but we're going to spend no money on this. This dealio. We're going to spend money on the snacks and my time, of course. I said, but I'm going to see what I can procure from publishers. So I went with business cards and had an overall positive experience. I mean, you know, it can be, you know, it's Gen Con, you know, you've been there. It's such a crazy time. They're all running wild, talking to 1,000 other people. And you go up and you're kind of like, hey, I'm starting this library program. It's not going to be lame, I promise. My most positive experience, and a story that I love to tell, was with Rio Grande, though. And I don't know if this gentleman is one of the presidents or what his particular function is, but I walked over, gave him my business card, and I told him the premise. And I said, I was wondering if you do donations for libraries, if you have a program. And he said, hold on, I'll be right back. So he walks into the Rio Grande booth, and comes back with 3 games in his hand and just hands them to me.
Nice.
Like, here, take them right now. Take them. I was like, what? It's crazy. Well, you don't want me to, like, email you and you can ship them to me or, like, have, like, a thing going on? No, just take them. And this past year at Gen Con, I saw him again, and I, of course, didn't expect him to remember me, but I thanked him. I said, you know, because that was among the first 3 games I had gotten. You really started my game library. And Dominion was one of them, and that's been very popular for checkout. I said, and it's, you know, that kind of generosity is really awesome. I said, and it would be so lovely if so many more could see the value in what we're doing. And he's like, hold on. And I went, oh, wait, what are you doing? And he went back into his booth again and pulled out Bonanza and maybe Bonanza the Duel. And he's like, here you go. He's like, you know, we love doing stuff like that. He said, it's excellent for us to build those kinds of ties. And that really is what the ultimate goal is, one of the ultimate goals. So in addition to that, the other facet was getting Brian and the Time Machine on board. My husband Matt and I, who you just heard, had been patrons, customers here for a number of years. We've been coming up for Game of Thrones LCG first edition stuff back when the portal was over there. And then over here, and the library, the library over there, and wandered in one day and was like, so whose library of games is that? And it's mostly Brian's, yep. I guess.
So now it's more like 30-40%, but back in the day, it was like 92%.
Yeah, back 2015.
Yeah, he really wanted to get that started, that same passion that you had. He's like, well, then we're going to have to supply the games. We can't just crack them all open. Yep. That'll kill the store. You know?
No.
Like the library, if you bought them all for the library, that might have killed the program right there in the first 6 months.
Yeah.
So that really helps.
I've often joked with Brian, like, what did you think when we had our first encounter together? Like, what's this crazy lady from the library who wants to collaborate? Like, what? How is this going to work? Is this even going to work? And my pitch to Brian had been, so I really wanted to make it kind of a community focus too, and like a business, like, this is how we can help you out. This is how I can help you out. I'm a big believer in you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back kind of thing. And really just to tie in the wonderful group of gamers that were already here, and bring them, of sorts, to the library, but introduce the library to new gamers and the portal to new gamers too, the time machine to new gamers. So I had said to Brian, hey, you can come in. We'll both act as game masters teaching games. And you can sell stuff. We have permission to sell stuff at our library. So he's always brought stock. And from then, I knew from the very first meeting, when we had like 18 people, that we had something kind of different. And I hate to say special, but special of sorts. I have weird rules of sorts, and you're one of the few people who can do whatever you want, because...
Because of me.
Because, I mean, you help me out, and you act as a game master, too. But I don't let people bring their own games into play. Because, and I've really stressed this over the years, there's a number of reasons. Brian, me, Matt, when he's been able to help out, and you, really spent a lot of time learning these games for people to come in and learn. So, and if people bring their own games, what do they want to play?
Their own games.
Their own games. So you've essentially wasted people's time.
Yeah.
And I hate wasting my time. The library also can't be responsible if Joe Schmo brings in his big gulp and spills his big gulp all over your copy of Glory to Rome.
Right.
So I really wanted it to be, and again, with the donations, we had so many donations after a while. It was crazy. My end donation count from libraries is like over 100 games I've gotten. It's insane. But it also was, I'm not even kidding you, like at least 100 hours worth of work for me.
Sure.
Emailing companies, following up, filling out forms, sending secondary emails, meeting in person at Gen Con or PAX.
Yeah.
So I've done a ridiculous amount of work. It wasn't just me kind of kicking back my heels going, this is going to be so easy.
Oh, I hear you on that, because walking around these conventions, and I give, like, I'm sure you have your spiel.
Yep.
And I've got my spiel down to 1 minute, because I don't want to waste anybody's time, my own most of all, right? In 30 seconds, somebody has decided whether they're going to listen to me, and this is a thing for them, or if it's not. And either way is fine. I always tell people, they don't owe me anything, right?
Our
store will function with or without, but we could be better. We could help you sell your game, those kind of things.
Yeah.
If you have a copy that gets to us, because we're in that same boat with our own library here. And I think it's great when companies can recognize that it's not only getting it in the hands of a reviewer. Yes, that'll get 5,000, 10,000 views, 1,000 listens, whatever it is for a podcast or whatever, but in a store, you've just got that constant flow, right? That game, that Pillars of the Earth from 10 years ago may sell a copy in a store. It's not going to sell a copy from a video online 10 years later, 12 years later, right?
Yeah.
So those can be really helpful. So yeah, it's definitely like exhausting doing that piece and the just send us an email, which is great, but it's like, okay, now I got to write down their name. Who did I talk to?
And I've talked a lot with people, especially in the last like 6 months, about donations, because gaming in libraries, since I did it in 2015, and gaming in libraries is not a new concept. Mm-hmm. People have been doing it long time, chess clubs, there's other luminaries in our personal area and have been, like, granddaddying it for 10 years. And I forgot where I was going with that train of thought.
Not a new idea, donations.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking to other people about getting donations?
Oh, yes. Kind of, if you're not a gamer yourself, there's almost kind of like a lingo, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the gaming industry. Like, you can tell from talking to someone gamer things, right?
Yeah.
You can. By what they play, what the games they bring up, what mechanics and styles they talk about. So when I sent off these emails, it was very important to me to A, mention something of theirs that I had played, if I had played it, and attach pictures. Another really nice interaction I had was someone from GMT who was ridiculously generous. And you know their stuff is top of the line price point.
Right.
We had just played, over a Labor Day weekend, Twilight Struggle.
Yeah.
And I had beaten my husband. And so because I take pictures of games, I had taken a picture and I was like, hey, and here's a picture of me beating my husband. This is a rarity. I actually did it. And we had a really nice conversation about Twilight Struggle. But I think sometimes too, they can tell if you're just someone looking for donations.
Right.
If you're an average Joe off the street who isn't a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Last year when I talked to Trey Day at Gen Con, I had Chris, one of the owners of Brotherwise, come in and talk from a publisher perspective. And he said, it's so much harder to say no to a fan.
Gotcha.
Which is a very interesting thought. So I've really encouraged people, if you're not a gamer, it's donations can be hard. But, so over the 2.5, almost years now, we've got this really great thing going. And it's such like a yin and yang, too, in terms of how, you know, I kind of draw up a list of games that, you know, are like a focus, and I send them off to Brian. He takes a look and thinks, you know, maybe some of these, because we both have different tastes.
Yep.
So he's thinking in areas I'm not thinking. He'll think more heavy Euro sometimes, or I can be like light, medium, sometimes heavy. So we cultivate this list. And all the hard work he does too in terms of being a game master and helping me out, and having my back too sometimes, because being a female in the gaming industry still can be a little weird sometimes. I've had some very unusual encounters with male gamers at my library insulting me. And I'm like, this is my rodeo here. And so now, I mean, you know, now we get like upwards of 30 people.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. We've had local designers, which is a mission of mine, really supporting that community here too. And I think in Connecticut we have a really vibrant local designer community. We've had the guys from Kapow come out. We had Ralph Anderson, who did Chimera and has worked really a lot with Eagle Griffin, come out. And then when Christian from Osprey Games came out, that was really kind of a huge highlight for me. Because he lives in Long Island, and he drove 3 hours to get to Manchester.
Yeah, he's quite the guy. So I ran into him at PAX.
Yeah.
All I did was see my shirt. Oh, Portal, Manchester? Oh, love you guys. You support. I love Jen. I love what she does at the library. Do you have copies of our stuff? I didn't have to give my spiel.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, yeah, okay. Just send me an email. Here's this. And I'm going to send you a box. And all I did was send an email. Hey, it's me, blah, blah, blah. He's like, great. There's a box in the mail. And it showed up a week later with a bunch of demos. Like, it was so simple.
Christian's
my man.
It was
so nice. So it was great.
Yeah, I just hooked him up with something in library land, which I think is going to be really great for Osprey.
Yeah, nice.
Christian's one of those people who loves what we do as librarians. He loves libraries. He came from the publishing industry initially before he worked as a marketing guru for Osprey Games. So, and my experience with him had been very similar. I was like, oh, you know, my husband and I have really been loving the turn the Osprey has taken away from their very traditional war games.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we love The King is Dead. We've been playing X, Y, and Z. And he just sent me, like, their entire library of stuff.
Nice.
And then when he finally came up, it was just, that was such a positive event for me. And I think for him too, he had brought his teenage daughter with him, and he talks about their journey up to Connecticut and how it really was one of his favorite things that had happened to them.
Oh, that's great.
So I've loved kind of the community connections and larger connections that have really been made. In terms of, you know, I walked up to Tom Vassell at PAX, and I thanked him for Favorite Game Friday, which Epic Gaming Night kind of hosts from Instagram, and I'm very heavily on Instagram, boardgame.librarian, and I thanked him for this opportunity from Favorite Game Friday. I said, because for someone like me, who's kind of an atypical gamer, I said, having this opportunity and this platform to kind of talk wider mission, and to me the wider mission is educating the public on gaming in libraries and libraries.
Yeah.
Because if that can be my hook.
Right.
To get you into a library when you haven't stepped foot into one in 5-10 years, then come on down. And just what a positive, a lot of these experiences have been very positive.
Nice. Cool. So, been running, you said 2.5 years, 3 years?
Almost 2.5.
Two and a half?
October was 2, so maybe 2.25.
So where do you envision it, just briefly, going from here? What would be some of your...
Oh, goodness.
You talked about,
man,
getting more publishers and designers in.
Yeah, so I'm working with Jason Maselli from Geek Fever Games.
Okay.
Who, their Kickstarter, Dead Man's Doubloons, was really huge. I talked a lot with him at PAX, and having them come up, and again, they're local, they're so local to us. Having more publishers come down, Artana in Marlborough, Massachusetts, I think. The marketing person there and I are like Instagram friends. Having them come down and show off Tesla V Edison and Einstein, maybe Speakeasy Blues when it comes out. I don't know. I really don't know. I would like to do kind of a side thing during the week for games for people with disabilities.
Yep.
Or people like elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen really great work done in terms of like cognitive skills and the socialization aspect too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Working with like the senior center and getting like a game day going. I think that could have really positive and impactful, very positive and impactful.
Awesome. Well, I love that. I love the forward thinking. I love the ideas you've had, the way you've culminated it. You know, whatever ideas or whatever structure you come up with, what I like is that you've well-defined it, right? It's well-defined for people. It's well-defined for you. It's well-defined for somebody who's going to donate something to you, right? Or somebody who's going to show up as a patron. They know what's happening. So keep doing what you're doing because it's great. Love supporting it. I mean, you probably can get the sense when you say, hey, are you coming out this Saturday? And I have to say no. You can probably hear my own personal disappointment because I really, if I could attend everyone, I would.
No,
but with two small kids, it just doesn't work all the time.
And, you know, that's kind of
the, love it.
The nice thing about it, too, people drop in and out. Part of my goal had been to get more millennials. Mm-hmm. Again, millennials are kind of this group that libraries want to get back at their libraries.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it happens. And that's, I appreciate all the work that you've done, too, in terms of helping out and stepping in and teaching games.
Yeah.
And
I love
it. It's, you know, there's been times where I've gone, oh, no, I can't teach 4 games at the same time. Because it's gotten to that point. You've seen. Last time you came, and I think we have 2 tables of a game going now, each game going. And there's, like, a queue of people. And if we don't have 4 teachers sometimes, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. But people are patient. And overall, it's a very positive group of people, too, who come and want to have fun. Except for the lady that flipped Matt the bird twice. Have you ever heard that story?
I have heard that story, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, there's people like that everywhere. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much. I think we're going to wrap up the episode here.
Yeah, so, I'm cool with that.
Having a good time talking. So, why don't you tell people where they can find you on the interwebs or actual address or whatever makes sense. Not your home address.
Manchester Public Library.
There you go.
So, Instagram's my wheelhouse. Again, boardgame.librarian. If you watch Favorite Game Friday, I'm on there. Same with Board Game Geek. I have a blog. Quiet in the library, because let's play off of that, right?
Nice, nice.
And this will be news to you. I haven't told a super lot of people. Coming soon, as soon as I edit it, Board Game Breakfast.
Woo!
Woo!
Nice.
So that's very exciting.
Nice.
A large platform.
Cool.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, this has been episode 77. I am your host, The Brand, and with me this episode,
Jen Bartlett.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Game Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on January 18, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Game Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. And as always, thanks for listening.